So welcome back from our break. This is the fifth week of our series, Do Not or Be Not Anxious. I like that B word. Be not anxious. That's, to me, a possibility. That's the way we can be. That we can be not anxious. And today's lesson is about something that I had no intention of teaching. It was not on my radar at all. But life kind of happened. And so here we are today with the lesson on the role of belief in the war on intimidation. Now, the war on intimidation is something I thought I'd be getting to, because that's something that the Lord, it was a phrase that the Lord, I don't know if that's a phrase somebody's already said or not, but it's a phrase that came to my mind one day when I was walking out of the gym, war on intimidation. That word intimidation had been around a lot, and this has been a couple of years ago, and I thought, I like that a lot. I'd like to join that war. And I think a lot of fear is intimidation by the enemy. I feel like I'm way, way too far close, so I'm going to scoot back a little bit. How's that? Can y'all see in here? So we're going to be tackling the war on intimidation, which is just another paraphrase for the word fear, a synonym. We've been talking about anxiety, worry, doubt, and fear. Add the word intimidation to your list of synonyms of the things we'll be talking about. But again, I'll probably be using the word fear because it's just an easy word to use, okay? And I wanted to review what we've said to date. At the top of your page, we've said that there's a pathway out of fear. And it's kind of counterintuitive because it's not really a fight. It's a come to Jesus. It's a be childlike. It's a receiving, relational, very be kind of thing. Being not anxious happens when we come to Jesus, when we ask him a question, and we showed lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of examples in the Bible. And I'll just re-give another example, Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. God's phone number is just one you can put with that. So if you're shaky about asking Jesus a question, just dial his phone number and know that that's biblical. And then listen. And that's kind of the hard part, is the listening part, because all of us have so many things. We've used that phrase about having a single eye or being single-minded. And that word we found meant one voyage. To have that one goal is to hear from Jesus. And I can just tell you, I still struggle here as long as I've been doing this. So if you're struggling there, that is a normal part of this process. Do not beat yourself up about it, and do not be intimidated by that. Just keep at it, and you will gain. The practice helps. It does. I've gotten better at being able to hear and recognize as I've gone. And then as we hear from him, the relationship starts building. And what happens is that bonding and fellowship happens that we talked about. And then we talked about last week our inheritance, our last lesson. And I said, I used the word trust fund. And I meant that as a double entendre, that we develop trust, which is emotional safety with the Lord, and our trust fund, our inheritance, we start gaining the ability to understand what's ours in Christ and being able to make withdrawals on it kind of like quicker and with greater ease and with more freedom the more we do it, okay? And so we're going to talk more about that. I had another verse to go with this that I found this week and I liked a lot. It was from Psalm 52. 16 and 17, and I've been kind of digging on my Passion translation, so here's it in the Passion. But as for me, I will call upon the Lord to save me, and I know he will. Every evening I will explain my need to him. Every morning I will move my soul toward him. Every waking hour I will worship only him, and he will hear and respond to my cry. Does that give you some confidence to ask? Mm-hmm. It does me. And so what we've said was we had two handouts that I think they're back there again, but they're the tools and techniques on the blue pages. One was about spiritual blessings, which are basically all God's promises. I mean, these aren't all of God's promises. This is a small fraction of God's promises. But it's a list of promises you can go to for the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. They are yours, girls. They are yours. Go get them. Go use them. Ask Him, Lord, for whatever your need is. I've been needing some peace, so I've been praying every verse I know about peace and asking and trusting Him for some of that. And so I'm talking about not the lotto, although it is really the lotto in the truest sense of the word. I mean, it is the winning thing. I would way rather have peace than all that money that the lottery gives. But it's those intangibles that they're really hard to grab unless you go to Jesus and ask Him for them. And then we talked about the promises last week. So an issue, when we ask for a spiritual blessing that's ours in Christ, as we sort of develop that list and start meditating and praying on those, I have my promise page. And so how did that I get that promise for Jackson and like the 57 others that he got, merely only got 5? Well, because I was desperate, just as I am. I came just as I am. I was desperate. And so I spent a lot more time on Jackson, honestly, than I did on Merrily. And I spent a lot of time in God's presence asking, and I spent a lot of time petitioning with some of these verses. And, you know, just one day something would land, and then all of a sudden it would be like, oh my gosh, I believe this. It would go from my head to my heart, and I would think, okay, Lord, yes, we're doing this. Yes, you're doing this, and I believe it. So I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I'm not even going to try to make up a mental picture of what that's going to look like, although I really do that. I will confess that I will go there in my mind and make up what I think it's going to look like. But I know by experience that He's going to keep those promises, because as I told you, He's kept a lot of them already. But He never did it. You can't make this stuff up. And this is how I know it's real. It's because you cannot make this stuff up. I got so many stories that I can tell you about how God answered a prayer or answered a promise, and you can't make it up, because He always outthinks us and always outdoes what you can hope to think or imagine. What's that? Ephesians 3:20 is your verse for that. That He does exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever hope or imagine. And that's my paraphrase. So that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. And we're going to take this from an area of something that I knew and experienced, and now I've known and experienced it in a new way. And I'm going to do it really more or less in the form of a testimony or a story than I am in a traditional lesson like I normally do. And I do want to say that there's a Bible verse to go with that, too. I always like to back up whatever I do in here with a Bible verse, because it gives me confidence that we're on track. So Matthew 13:34 tells us that Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd using stories. He did not say anything to them without telling a story. I love that. And so, I think people remember stories probably better than they remember just basic principles. So I always like to include a story. But some of you may be aware of my circumstances. I mentioned it briefly, I think the last time we were together, is that I had a dear friend, her name's Drew Johnson, and she was my roommate at Auburn, a sorority sister and a friend that has, she was on hospice last time we met, and she's gone on to be with Jesus since then, and it's been really, really hard. I'm experiencing grief, I guess you might say. I want to talk about that today, about loss. And it doesn't have to be about the loss of a friend or a loved one. It can be about any kind of loss. I know one of the deepest griefs I ever experienced is when my firstborn went off to college and I had an empty nest for the first time. I mean, I really, really grieved that. I remember standing in Walmart one day. I walked by the action figures, and we have got a whole chest of them in my attic. And it reminded me of my boy. And I was just standing in Walmart just squalling. I was fine. And then I wasn't fine. And that's how loss is. It just kind of hijacks you sometimes. So I kind of have gotten hijacked in this last couple of weeks. And I thought, well, Lord, do you want me to talk about this? So I started doing some research. I felt kind of this prompting to type in on Google the word fear and grief. You would not believe the hundreds of thousands of hits you can get when you do that. I mean, it's these two are very much related. So in God's wisdom, He has taken my life circumstances and given us something to talk about that is common to all of us. And I wanted to share this quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, "No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear." And I went, wow. And then, honestly, y'all, every blogger uses this as their opening statement. Just so you know, I wanted y'all to have this quote because every blogger uses it. And if you want to write a blog, you need to use it if you want to be a bona fide grief blogger. And then I like, there's a woman that writes about grief, and she said this, "Sometimes we fear our own grief. Our emotions are foreign and unfamiliar. It takes an inordinate effort to sort through what we're really feeling." And I credit Julie Yarbrough with that. I think that whether you're experiencing a loss or whether you're grieving, I think fear in general, whether it's linked to a loss or not, we all have that fear of our emotions. To a person last hour, we started talking about emotions. Y'all, we don't feel comfortable with them. We don't like digging down to the very bottom because it's scary. You know, you feel out of control. You feel like, what's wrong with me? I'm supposed to be strong. You know, that's one of the things that I journaled this week. It's like, I want to be strong for Drew. I want to be strong for Jesus. I want to be strong for my friends. I want to, you know, be a good witness. I want all that. And y'all, I didn't have it. I was weak. And so I had one of the things the Lord had me do when I was praying through that was reach out to a friend who's ahead of me in life, who I had seen speak on a couple of occasions, and she had choked up and cried about her best friend dying in the last year. And so I just wrote her and told her about my loss and said, "Hey, I'm just asking for your prayer and any counsel you might have." And about an hour later, the phone rang. She called me and she said, "Kathy," she said, "you know, grief is something, loss is something that you may never really get over. It's something, though, that over time you learn to live with. And that doing it with Jesus and doing it authentically is important. Because if you will do it all the way down as you go, you'll have that integrity of heart and you won't have to fear those episodes so much." So I felt like it was important for me to just go with what I had, and so that's what we're going to do. I wanted to mention these other fears that are attached to loss: fear of change, fear of abandonment, fear of death, fear of the unknown, fear of being embarrassed, fear of not knowing how to grieve, or fear of it happening again. And I credit that with griefwatch.com. So I think the more that we think about some of the ways that we've experienced loss and how it's an inroad to fear, the more freedom we'll have. And so think about, you may not have a child that's gone off to college. You may not have lost a friend. You may not have lost a parent. But maybe you've been betrayed by a friend. Or maybe something in your health profile has changed. Or maybe you've been through a divorce. Or maybe there's a rift in your family, in a broken relationship. That's all those are losses. So I wanted to take just a minute, because I do feel like this is something that Jesus is putting his finger on today, for us to listen and ask the Lord. We're just going to take a couple of minutes for you to listen. And so here's the question that we want to ask him. And so I'm going to pray it for us and give you just a moment to write it. Lord Jesus, is there a loss that we have not recognized, resolved, or adequately grieved that is an entry point for fear or doubt in my life? Is there a loss that I've not recognized, resolved, or grieved adequately that is an entry point for fear or doubt in my life? Okay, so that's something you may need more time on, but I'm going to just continue to share now. The one principle that I'm going to add today, I am going to add this new thought, is this thing about experiential knowledge. You know, we talk a lot about, oh yeah, I know that. I know that verse. I know that principle. But really, knowing in the biblical sense of the word means experiential knowledge. And I base that on Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. And we've used that verse before, but let me just share it one more time from the Amplified so you'll feel confident in what I'm sharing here. I pray, this is Paul writing to the Ephesian church, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of His mighty strength. So, listen to that. We've got this whole big inheritance, all of these blessings and promises. And His part is to be God and to make the promises and to put them out there for us. Our part is what? To believe. And as we do it, so what I put, the little formula is faith, or believing would be another word for that. Believing plus your experience of God coming through on that is true knowing. That's experiential knowing. And that's something I want to share with you about today. I, in my grief experience, the first time around, I lost the only real close person I've ever lost before is my dad, and that was 15 years ago. And guys, I had this experiential knowing of God that was unbelievable. I mean, it was crazy good knowing. It was something that I think has been a real, it was, you know, way earlier in my journey. And so what I can summarize that experience as is that was a me and Jesus thing. That was Jesus showing Himself strong for me. That was Abba Daddy showing me, I got you, little girl. You're going to be okay. You've got somebody who's going to look out for you and take care of you, just like your earthly daddy did, but better. I mean, oh my goodness. I have testified about this before, and I'm just going to tell you, God showed up in such an amazing way that I was kind of Teflon. Really, I walked above my circumstances in a way that I've done maybe two or three times in my life. I mean, it was so out of body. It was almost out of body. I had more joy than I had pain. I did have pain. I did experience the loss. I was sad. But honestly, the joy outweighed the sad for me. So I know that's possible. I know that's possible because I've lived it. And so my view on death has been extraordinarily altered by that. I mean, I have really thought, come on, go to heaven, run to Jesus. I mean, I have really kind of had this kind of like excitement when people die. And that sounds bizarre, but because of my experience before, I mean, I can go directly there in my mind and think, yes, you know, and just think, oh, that's so awesome. They're in the very presence of Jesus. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. That was that real to me. And so that's been an incredible gift that was what I call in my vault. I mean, like, I know that I know that I know that I know all those things. But it's been really, really different this time. And so I was expecting it, though. That's one of those things you got to watch out for is the expectations. Because you just, like I said earlier, you just don't know how he's going to do it on any given ask or any given promise. So I knew he was going to take care of me, but I just didn't know how it was going to look. And it was really, really different. So, yeah, I was believing him, and I got something different than what I kind of was thinking I was going to get. But let's just talk about some of the ways that I got that, what I got the first time around, and also how I got what I got the second time around. So the first thing I did was meditation. You say, so, because I'm thinking, well, okay, experiential knowledge sounds great and everything. Believing sounds great and everything. But, like, could you tell us kind of how you got there? How do you get Teflon? Or how do you even get what you got getting by the hair of your chinny chin chin? How do you get that experiential knowledge? Well, I meditated. I'm going to tell you that for that experience with my dad, I was on my way to a retreat, a spiritual retreat, a three-day retreat, and our homework assignment was to meditate. And I'm just offering this up for all of y'all. It is a great, great assignment to take time to meditate on all the times God has come through for you, and you know that you know it was gone. We were to make a list. Those were glory moments, we called them. And that's my definition of glory. I know that the Bible says it's weight, it's habad. I mean, there's a lot of really deep spiritual things you could say about glory. But my definition, and I think I kind of tweaked it and stole it from John Riddle, and he says it's when God shows up. That's not what John says, but that's what I say. It's when God shows up, and you know that he shows up. That's the glory of God in my little way of saying it. And so I wrote down my list, and tops on my list was the birth of my children. I mean, you just see this baby come out of your body if you've experienced that, and you're just going, "That, how is that even possible? How can you not believe in God when you see that happen?" It's just like there are no words. And so that was on my list of like two, like I can worship God for this because I know no human being can pull that off on their own. You know, so I went to this retreat and I was standing there doing what we do, singing, and this song about the names of God came on, and it's that one, I forget who sings it, but it's called Prince of Peace, and it has all these names of God. And so we got there, and I was just rocking out to this song, and we got to the name of God, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. And so I thought, oh, that's one of my things on my list. We were charged to praise God for the things on our list, our glory moments during this praise set. So I said, Alpha, that's me, baby. I'm praising the Lord for texting and mirroring me. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I'm just, and it kind of went around and around, and I was just thinking, yes, Lord, I'm learning how to worship. Yay, I can lift my hands on that one. And this was really, really early in my career. So I was trying to get into it, you know, and I had a safe space to do it. So I was really going for it. And kind of, maybe the third time around when we came through that little round on the song, I'm the Alpha Omega beginning and end. And the Holy Spirit asked me this question. I just sensed this question come up in my spirit. Will you believe me for glory as the Omega? And I mean, I immediately dissolved into tears because I knew what he was asking me. He was asking me, and sort of telling me, you will face your worst fear. And my worst fear was losing my dad. He was my main squeeze. He was my Holy Spirit. I mean, really, seriously, when I was a little girl, if my daddy said it, that was the gospel. I'm serious. That was like no argument. If daddy said it, that's the way it was. And he pretty much came through with all that. So when I had that question from the Lord, will you believe me that there's glory on the Omega? Y'all have heard me say it before. There's in my book, you can't say no and Lord in the same sentence. So, of course, I said, yes, Lord, I will believe you. And it was really sweet of him because it informed my remaining days with my dad. I actually had almost 2 years left with him. And so I was way more intentional with him because of that encounter. And it was a really sweet gift to me. But as he got sicker, that was the thing that I held on to. That was the arrow that I shot, was, Lord, you say you're the Omega, so I'm going to trust you. You're a God of glory. I'm going to trust you for glory on the Omega. And so I got that by meditating on the deeds of the Lord. I've given you a scripture about that, a couple of scriptures about meditating on the deeds of the Lord. And Moses actually asked Jesus, I put that reference on your paper, I believe. Moses said in Exodus 33:18, Lord, I pray you, show me your glory. So I say, if Moses can do it, we can do it. So whatever your situation is, you can ask God to see his glory through whatever name of God that, and there's a whole, by the way, a whole series, a year's worth of names of God that are up on the website. I don't think we cover very many names of God, but you can find thousands of them. I mean, God has so many names. You can make your own name. I mean, seriously, I mean, like, I will call God my travel agent or something like that, my meal planner. I mean, you can, and he is. So you don't have to have a Bible verse, but you can ask for his glory and all of that. So worship, I've already mentioned worship. That was a time that I think that's a special way that when we really open our hearts to the Lord, and we bow before him in reverence, and we are believing, back to believing, that we're going to receive from him in that moment. In his presence, it says we are changed and transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that. I like the way the voice said it. It says, now all of us with our faces unveiled reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors. And so we are being transformed, metamorphosed into his same image from one radiance of glory to another, just as the Spirit of the Lord accomplishes it. So as we go with open hearts, with open faces before the Lord, just as I am, I go into his presence. And I bow before him. And the word worship, I love, in the Greek, means to kiss, literally to kiss. And sometimes I'll think about just bowing at Jesus' feet and kissing his feet, just like the woman did with her perfume. And that oftentimes he'll give us a download of his glory. And whether we feel it or see it or hear it or not, the scripture tells us that we are transformed if we make worship a lifestyle. So that's one of the ways we can have experiential knowing of God. And that's when God gave me what I needed to walk through that biggest fear of my life. And so asking for more. So I had known God as the Alpha. I was asking him to know him as the Omega. That any time we have a scripture, know that intrinsic in it, when God asks us to believe something, there's a promise intrinsic in that. If he's asking something from us, if he's telling us to believe him, that's a promise. It doesn't have to say, and I will. You know, it doesn't have to have that exact language. Just know that if it's in Scripture, it's got a promise built into it. Because God is faithful. It's impossible for him to lie, it says in Hebrews 13. So our work is to believe. That's a little phrase that I think Martha Jo came up with. Martha Bailey. I put that verse on the paper. John 6:29 in the Amplified says, Jesus said, this is the work that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. So that's your work, is to believe. And the Hebrews reference basically tells us about the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They were heading for the promised land, but guess what? The promises didn't benefit them. Why? Because they weren't married with belief. So again, experiential knowledge of God requires faith or belief on our part. For us to go to him and ask him in those moments on that continuum we've been going back to every time, and then waiting to see what's going to happen on the other end and actually experiencing it. And it's just like you may say to yourself, well, I don't feel any faith. Just know this, that faith has already been deposited into your account when you came into Jesus. It says that in Romans 12. And I love the parable of the mustard seed. It says in Matthew 17:20, assuredly, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, talking about introducing fear, sometimes making a big ask like that is a source or an entry point for fear. Mm-hmm. Because you're thinking, well, what if I risk? What if I get in touch with all this deep, dark want? What if I get in touch with this deep, dark need? What if I open my heart to God and He doesn't come through? Mm-hmm. That's some shaky ground for some folks. But just know He will. It's just not always the answer that you've dreamed up of what you're asking for. But just recognize that place that you're going to be tempted to be afraid. So, I want to talk about another parable now, real quick, and that is treasures old and new. I don't know why I've loved this verse. I think somebody prayed this over me like 25 years ago, and I've always loved it, and I call it the treasure chest verse. And I can just see it in my mind. This girl prayed for me at some little get-together one night, and she said, oh, I can just see, Kathy, this treasure chest with jewels dripping over it and pearls and these just all kinds of just gold and silver just dripping out of this treasure chest. And I was just thinking, oh, I'm liking that. And that was before I was, knew that we could pray these pictures and kind of embellish and in our sanctified imagination. So this is the verse I think she was praying from. It's Matthew 13:52, and I love the way the Message rendered it. It says, every student well-trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it. And so like, I was pulling from the old, believing, because the Lord reminded me when Drew got really sick and they put her in hospice, I was praying for her and just, saying, Lord, I don't even know what to pray anymore. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, Omega. And I thought, oh, okay, good. Thank you. Oh, that's so helpful. So I had something. I had an old treasure in my treasure chest that I could pull out and pray. But, God wanted to give me something different this time. I still have that in my treasure chest, but He wanted to give me some new treasure. So I want to tell you about this experience. So I guess it was probably about a year ago, that I realized Drew probably wasn't going to make it. And she had ovarian cancer. She was 91 pounds in the fall. I think she was less than 75 pounds the last time I saw her. It was bad. And so every time I would see her or think about her or talk about her, I was taking somebody out for a birthday lunch one day. And they said, well, what's going on with you? And I would say, Drew's not going to make it. And I'm thinking, stop it. Stop it. This is this person's birthday. Why are you doing this? that's what I was doing. I was, y'all. It was like all I could. I was obsessed with this. And I don't know. I think because I was praying for my own healing. I've got back issues, and I've been praying for my own hips and my own different things. And I'm thinking, how can you ask while she's, got this horrible disease? So that's another place. Let me just tell you, that's not healthy either. So the Lord just has used this in multiple ways. And I think probably my most, I guess two things that He's shown me is about these winds and waves of emotions. And I was listening to this little devotional, and it opened it up, and it had this one verse on it, Matthew 8:27. What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And y'all, this was last Thursday. I cried. I started crying the second I read it, and I cried pretty much all day long. I never left the house. I had all these plans to do all this stuff, and it just, none of it got done because I just was feeling the wind and the waves, and I was just kind of thinking, like, is this healthy, Jesus? I'm not really sure if it is or not, but it's the, I am doing with integrity what I know to do, which is, this is all I've got for you right now, Lord. It's just the weakness of where I am and my sadness. And he did have me go back to some old treasure chest things to cling to as I journaled out my sadness. And one of them was to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. That gave me a lot of joy. My friend didn't know the Bible very much. She knew Jesus, though. She was raised in a church that didn't use a lot of Bible verses. And so when I sat down with her, probably back in the summer, she said, I know where I'm going, but I don't know really where I'm going. And so I was able to talk with her about some of it. I said, you know what? I hadn't been there, but I've read about it in the Bible. And I was able to share with her some of the things about how beautiful heaven is, how we're in the presence of God, no more tears, no more crying, how we get it, we don't have to deal with our old body anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I can't wait to get the new one. So I that was solid for me. Psalm 147:3, that he binds up the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. And then Psalm 23:4, I like the way it said it in the voice. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I am not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments. Near with your protection and guidance, I am comforted. I remember watching my dad go to heaven and thinking, hallelujah, he's there. You know, and it wasn't that just dissolving in tears on the bedside. It was just this moment of victory. Yes. You know, so I knew those things and I hung on to those. But here's a verse that the Lord reminded me from my treasure chest, Isaiah 48:6. And this is just the second half of the verse from the AMP. It says, God speaking, I show you specified new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known. So he reminded me of that. And it was like he was saying, Kathy, I want to show you some new things that you don't know. I want you to have experiential knowledge. I want you to have some new things in your treasure chest. Okay. So here are a few of my PFJs, prizes from Jesus that I learned. That there is a time to cry. That's biblical. It's appropriate. There is a time to cry. And there's a time to grieve. It says in Ecclesiastes 3. And this verse, someone shared with me in recent months during this season, Proverbs 25:20. And I've given it to you in the New Living. Singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather or pouring vinegar in a wound. Y'all, I have done that. And if I've done that to you, would you please forgive me? If you've lost somebody and I've been, yeah, but they're in heaven. Yay. All right. Isn't that so cool? If I have done that to you, please forgive me. Because that has been my attitude because of my experience with my dad. Is that, oh my gosh, that's the best news ever. If you know Jesus, yeah, y'all, that's like pouring vinegar in a wound. So I've learned something new, is that, hey, that's inappropriate, and that's not even nice to do that. And so I stand corrected. One of my favorite passages that y'all probably heard me talk about that the Lord gave me a new take on was Psalm 126, the very first word, when. That's that one about when the Lord restored the captivity of Zion, they were like those who dreamed. And it was like those who, and it says later in that chapter, the verse 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Well, see, I've always focused on the reaping in joy thing. But the Lord had me to focus on the sowing in tears more, and on the word when. It's a process. That God will deliver you. God will bring you to the other side. God, joy comes in the morning, but it's a matter of time. So that's something new that I learned. And then really big for me this time is something that he's shown me through two scriptures, Colossians 2:19 and Ephesians 4:16. I just put the Ephesians one on your handout, but it's talking about how Jesus uses the body to strengthen us. He uses a picture of the church being like a body that's supported by every joint and ligament. And so instead of him giving me the direct download of being the omega this time, what he's had me to do, when I was in that day where I couldn't quit crying, I said, Jesus, just give me something
write your friend who lost her friend, send a text out to your small group, and tell them where you are, and be vulnerable. Don't just say, I need prayer. Tell them, I'm a mess. I can't get my composure. I can't stop crying. Will you please pray? And write that to your prayer group. I did those three things. And the way the Lord has given to me in this season has been through people. And it's been really sweet. But it's required me to be vulnerable. And it's required me to ask. So see that ask word. See how he does? Mm-hmm. You know, remember I was all excited about the ask tattoo? Okay, well now, see, I got to put it on the other foot or the other finger because, see, it's got a whole new thing, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So Jesus has still got me on asking, but he's having me to make an ask on the horizontal level. See, you got to watch him. He's sneaky. And then I want to just kind of tell you that one, probably my favorite thing he did through this whole thing is to, and I wrote it in my journal, I could show it to you. I said, Lord, what about all this pain? This world is full of pain. This world is broken. It's full of loss. What about all that? Well, he showed me, well, I was a man of sorrows, Kathy. I was acquainted with grief. It tells us that in Isaiah 53. And I thought, oh, that's so helpful. He bore our sorrow. Okay, let me experience that, Lord. And then the verse he gave me, it was the very next verse in that Ephesians passage from the Passion Translation. It was like I was studying that passage again and again about working to believe and experience and the true kind of knowing. Because I was still hurting so bad, I wasn't experiencing, you know, like the pain this time was outweighing the knowing and the believing. So the way the Passion rendered verse 19 was this. It says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. I loved that. I thought, okay, you know what? Now that is doing it for me, God. Thank you. Thank you for that to hold on to. So I was in New Orleans last week. I had left Bible study last time we met 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. I had the previous Tuesday I had sat with Drew for the very last time on her bed, and she told me, she had told me on Monday, I saw her, and then I saw her again on Tuesday. She had told me on Monday, she said, Kathy, I'm going home on hospice. And of course I just, ooh, I lost it. She, y'all, really, she is my model of friendship, and my banner that I'm going to take forward from her life is her intentionality. She has moved all over this planet and never let me go, not one time. Mm. She moved to Colorado, West Virginia, China, Florida, Florence, Alabama, and she followed me every step of the way, and I was a terrible initiator. And she just never let that stand in her way. And it's a really high bar, but that's what I want to take away from her life. And so I've lost track of what was I saying. Oh, yeah, so I spoke with her on Tuesday. It's been 3 weeks ago. And she was just saying to me on Tuesday, well, Kathy, I've got so-and-so coming this week. And her life expectancy was 4 to 6 months. And so I'm thinking 4 to 6 months, you know. So we're making a plan for me to come see her and to be with her sisters and, you know, be with her girls. She's got two girls, Claire and Rachel. And please pray for them. And, I mean, we were having a conversation that was so normal. And so Saturday morning comes and the phone rings and it's her husband. And he said, Kathy, if you want to see Drew alive, you need to get up here. I thought, what? What happened? She just went downhill that fast. I mean, it was just, I don't know. I mean, it was just God's time. That's all I know to say. But it was very unexpected. You know, as I said, I thought I had more time with her. And so I prayed and prayed. And one of the cool things that I've learned is God's timing is, I hope you're kind of hearing that. And so I really was wrestling with, well, do I go? Do I go? I've got to prepare for Bible study. I have this. We're getting ready to go out of town. You know, just all this. And I prayed about it. And I said, I will have to get back with you. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with that. But as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord just asked me kind of, what do you want, Kathy? And I thought, I don't want to see her like that. I want to remember sitting on her bed. And it just being normal, you know. And so I wrote her daughter back, and I said, hey, I hope you understand, but I think I'd like to end with a memory of your mom. And she wrote back, and she said, oh, my mom would love that. Go to New Orleans and have a good time. And so I said, oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. And I'm signing up to be your honorary aunt. She just moved to Birmingham. And she said, I'd love that. And I said, well, I was going to do it anyway. Your mom and I already hatched this plot, you know. And she smiled, and so I went out to New Orleans, and, I mean, we just kept, my friends were all making their trek up there to say goodbye, and I kept thinking, oh, that, I'm not going to go to New Orleans. I'm going to have that funeral to go to. I mean, it was, I mean, she hadn't woken up for days. So I just felt led, no, go on to New Orleans and do your thing. So I did, and I kept thinking, if she can just make it till Friday. I was, for whatever reason, that was the day that I sort of had fixed in my mind, but, you know, no word. So I'm down in New Orleans, and both my boy, Jackson had to go to work, and Bob had to go to his conference on Friday morning of last week. I guess it was last week, a week before last, whenever. My times are getting mixed up. And so I was in the little guest bedroom, and I rolled over when they said goodbye. Bye, Mom. Have a great day, buddy. Be a good doctor and save lives. And then Bob goes, hey, I'm gone. I said, okay, have a great day. Be a good lawyer. And then I put my head under the pillow, and I went back to sleep. And so, you know, I don't know if y'all do this, but when I have late morning sleep, sometimes I'll have really vivid dreams. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to sleep, and I had this really vivid dream, and it was very short, and I'm going to share it with y'all. So I went to sleep, and I saw myself standing on this ridge, and it was looking out over this kind of golden light. It was not bright. It was just kind of this soft gold. And I was in the shadow, and I had these two smaller or shorter people on either side of me. I was looking at my back and their backs, and we were looking out, and I was explaining something. Imagine that. And so I don't know what we were saying. I don't know who the people were. But that was the scene. And so then I felt, you know how you can feel somebody come up in their presence even though you don't see them? So I felt somebody come up behind me, and I looked back, and it was Drew. And she had on what Meryl Lee calls the coolest garment in my closet. And this garment was purchased when the year Jackson was born. We went to New York several months later, right around Christmas time. And I bought, y'all, this is in the 80s. Shoulder pads, I'm telling you, these shoulder pads are like up here and out here. I mean, we're talking massive shoulder pads, and then it comes way down here, and it's this funky gray and white tweed. It's not your menswear tweed. It is like high funk factor. I mean, I could do Funky Town if this will ever come back in style. But Meryl Lee assures me, oh, no, Mom, you will never wear that jacket again, because when shoulder pads come back, I'm totally stealing that from you. So I'm standing there in this setting, and Drew is standing behind me, and I look at her, and she has on that jacket. And I'm thinking, and so I go, I thought, don't say anything. So I told you how tiny, she was a small person anyway, but she had gotten so tiny, and she was tiny, tiny, and she had on this massive coat. And I thought to myself, that does not fit you, and it's old. And then I turned back around, I thought, don't say anything. And then she walked up right in front of me and the other two people, and she had taken the coat off. And she looked me right in the eye. And then I looked, and she looked at me, and she had her arms like this, and she had her arm full of manila folders. Do y'all know what that is? Like file folders? Okay. So, I mean, some of y'all youngsters may not know that because you file everything on your computer. But she looked right at me. She had her arms full of manila folders, and she just goes like this. And she let all the file folders drop to the ground. And it startled me so much I woke right up, and I thought, I know what that means. And what, I mean,
I get the interpretation of the dream is with the dreamer, the Bible mm-hmm. says. So what I felt like it was from God. I felt like, oh, well, Friday is the day after all. And I felt like she had taken off and that she had let go of the business of life and that she was going to that beautiful place yes. that we all long for. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, God, thank you. That's good stuff. Thank you. I needed that. Really needed that. And then it was like, call Jeff. That's her husband. And I thought, call Jeff? That seems so inappropriate, Lord. Why do you always do that to me? So I got on up. I got my coffee. I ate my breakfast. And I kind of thought, am I supposed to call right now? Mm-mm. Well, just do your thing. I journaled. I wrote out my dream. I got my Bible out. I did my thing. I had all day because the boys were gone. And I kept thinking, well, now, and about, I was just doing my thing, and all of a sudden, it's like, call Jeff. And I looked at my watch, and it was 10 o'clock, and I said, okay, I guess he'll let it go to voicemail if this is not a good time. So I hit the button, I called Jeff, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang. I thought, okay, I'm going to get a voicemail message. And then all of a sudden, I got, hello, really quiet. And I said, hey, Jeff, I'm checking on you. He said, hey. And I said, so what's going on? He said, your friend just this very minute breathed her last breath.
Wow.
Just this. Just this minute. I went, oh, Jeff, I kind of knew. I had a dream. He said, of course you did.
Aww.
And I went, oh, you know, and we had a little cry together, and he said, I guess I need to go. And I said, yeah. And I said, yeah, okay. Isn't that bizarre? I'm going to tell you, walking with Jesus has got some massive surprises. So I thought, wow. And the Lord said, glory. And I went, oh, yeah. So, y'all, I thought, I don't want glory for myself. I want it for his for her family. So then I started just asking, my ask was, will you give me a chance to tell her girls about my dream? And I got to tell both of them when I was at the funeral this weekend. Mm-hmm. And both of them received it. One of them really received it, and the other one was kind of like, wow, that's so weird. But that's the one that lives in town, and I'm going to get another crack at her, okay? So that I can be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through me and you and how God takes our pain and he uses it. I think my tears allowed them to know how much I really love their mom, and I hope it'll give me a doorway to maybe have a chance to love on them in their grief. So I wanted to end with this verse, Psalm 55:22, and this is from the Passion. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are faithful and that you're good and that we can never outguess you. But we can always know this, that we can know that we can know that we can know that we can know that you will come through for us, that you will answer us, that you will be with us, and that you will work all the pain and loss and hurt and broken things of this world for our good and your glory, Lord. So we want to experience you. We want to have that true kind of knowledge of you. So, Father, whatever we're dealing with is painful and fearful. God, whether it's a loss or not, I ask that you would cause us to come to you with the integrity of our emotions and really open wide to you and let you speak to us there and minister to us there. And we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.